Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, let's do this. Let's open in prayer and let's pray together. Lord, we come before you tonight and we just ask, we thank you for that sweet time of worship. And we look forward here shortly to some more time of worship. But Lord, before we do that, we want to come to your word. We come seeking after you tonight. Lord, believing that you've got a plan for us, a perfect plan, and believing that you're going to use your word in our life to work out that plan, that you're going to move some of us tonight off the place that we came in with. You're going to move us off that spot, and you're going to use your word to do it, and your spirit, Lord, we believe that. And so tonight, speak to us, guide us, direct us, usher us into a new way possibly of thinking that we've maybe thought wrong before. And so, Lord, use your word tonight, less of me and so much more of you. Amen. Amen. Maybe some of you have heard this before, that everything happens for a reason. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that statement? Oftentimes, when people invoke this statement, what they're saying is simply that something occurred, an occurrence happened, and we believe, or I believe, or you believe, or they believe that something, in fact, happened for a reason. That something happened, there was a cause, and the person who caused it or the thing that caused it, some people say it's karma, or some people use Mother Earth, or whatever it looks like. They believe that that thing, whatever it was, caused that circumstance to happen, and there was a reason behind it happening. Okay, that some people believe this occurrence happened, both good or bad, and the thing that caused it, whatever it is that people assign it to, because obviously not just Christians evoke this statement, that lots of people believe and say this on maybe a daily basis, well, everything happens for a reason, and those people aren't all Christians, right? So there's other people who believe that other things happen, and there's a cause behind it, and ideally, there's a reason behind it, something like this. Maybe you've heard something like this before. Sally says, I went to the store that day. I don't ever go to the store on Monday, but I was out of conditioner, and so I had to go to the store, and I'm walking down the conditioner aisle, shampoo aisle, and I'm just standing there, and I don't usually talk to people, but today was different, and all of a sudden, this lady comes stand next to me, and she drops her purse on the floor. So I'm helping her pick up the stuff off the floor, and her nail polish rolls out, and I use the same nail polish. And we look at each other like, oh, this is incredible. We use the same nail polish. So we get to chit-chatting. Turns out, this lady, Susie, I know a lot of the people Susie knows. In fact, we go to the same church, and we didn't even know it. So we say, hey, you know what? We should get coffee together sometime after church. So we get coffee together after church, and we start talking. We have so many similarities. In fact, we're best friends now. And Sally and Susie say, everything happens for a reason. I was out of conditioner that morning so that I would go to the store, so that I would stand in the conditioner aisle of all places. She dropped her purse at just the right time so that nail polish rolls out. I see the nail polish. We start talking. The rest is history. Friends forever, right? Because everything happens for a reason. We've heard this before. Even sometimes we'll see it evoked when bad things happen. So Jim plays basketball, right? And Jim's good at basketball, loves basketball, passionate basketball. One night, he's at the gym, Monday night, basketball night, and he breaks his leg. He breaks his leg so bad, and it's so painful that he has to actually go to the emergency, and they need to do surgery. And while he's recovering, he meets this nurse, and she's the most incredible woman in all the world. She was the nicest nurse to him while he was there. So Jim thinks, before I leave, I'm going to ask her, and just, you know, just to see if maybe she wants to go on a date. She certainly does want to go on the date. A year later, after dating, they marry each other, and now they have this amazing story, and both of them would say, everything happens for a reason. Even bad things, like breaking your leg painfully, having to have surgery, and I met the woman of my life, breaking my leg, playing basketball. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And you'd think, crazy, but he would say, Jim would say, everything happens for a reason. There was a plan behind it. There was a circumstance that caused it. And I'm sure many of you have some of these same stories to where you would say, Jeff, you have no idea. I've got this one thing. And we'd all say, no way, that happened? I mean, that chain of events, the circumstances that led you to the job, or to your spouse or to your friend. You would never believe how I came to know the Lord. It's incredible circumstances because everything happens for a reason. These are stories we love to tell. I think here's why. Because we like to believe that there's actually something else working in this universe other than just our own will, our own desires. And I would just say, even people, if you're not a believer here today, but you might invoke this, but I would just say, listen, maybe think about this for a second. When you say everything happens for a reason, there's something controlling that everything happening to lead towards something that is reasonable or something to happen, that causation that would say, I've got a purpose or plan, and this is why I'm making it happen. So I don't know where you stand tonight. Now, listen, obviously, Christians, as we fill up this room, right, many of you are in that place today, you would say, yeah, everything happens for a reason and there's a purpose. And in fact, the Bible's very clear on this. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of wiggle room. Romans 8:27 says this, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And then look at 28, right? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. The Bible actually gives us very little wiggle room on this statement that everything happens for a reason. Now, I think sometimes we like to think, well, the good things happen, and there's a good reason behind the good things, but then when we get to the bad things, the broken legs of our lives, or we think, why in the world? God, how could you? And the truth of the matter is, as we look at the Word of God, it's filled with these both good and bad things, little things and big things that God uses for his purposes and for his glory and for his name. And sometimes we would say, man, I wish that wouldn't happen to me. And we're allowed to say that, but God uses those things in our lives. And so I would say tonight, we're going to look at, a very clear-cut example of God using a circumstance to demonstrate that he is there. He has his hand on it, and everything that he does happens for a reason. So look with me, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 9 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Go ahead and turn there in your phones. If you have your phones, you can flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 9. I will just say that we're going to read a thick, big hunk of scripture, and You might want to read along with us, because it is pretty extensive. So it's 15 verses, and I think if you saw it with your own eyes, it might help in the process. So if you want to turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 9, let me set the passage up for you. The first part of Samuel, 1 Samuel in particular, is about how Samuel comes to be a prophet of God, and from his birth, from early childhood, and he gets this anointing of being God's special prophet for the people, for his people. And in fact, in just approaching right before chapter 9, in chapter 8, God's people say, check this out, they say, we want a king. Give us a king. God, give us a king. We're looking around at all the other nations, and they have kings, and we want a king. And God's perfect plan was for him to be their king, right? Him to be their leader, for them to be sensitive to him. But God's people, as we all are kind of flaky, and they kind of go back and forth with God. And God's saying, listen, Samuel, go tell them if they want a king, listen, the king is going to take advantage of them. He's going to take advantage of their crops and their livestock, and he's going to ask their kids to go to war, and they really don't want a king. They really don't want a king, but if they want a king, I'll give them a king. So Samuel goes to them and says, listen, if you get a king, these kings, you don't really want a king. You want God as your king. If you get a king, he's going to take advantage of you. And the people are like, give us a king. We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And so God says, okay, I'll give you a king. And so in our chapter today, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to see the first look we get at Israel's first king. It's kind of like the introduction to who he is. But it's the circumstance by which we get to meet this king that I want to look at. I want you to see that God has his hand in all things, that he's orchestrating all things. And we'll see that here In 1 Samuel chapter 9, look at verse 1. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Tesore, the son of Behorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. For his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then they passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. Do you get the idea? They're looking high and low. They're looking everywhere for these donkeys, and they cannot find them. When they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become more worried about us. And he said to him, the servant, that is, look now, there is in the city of a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give to that man of God to tell us our way. And then there's a little brief here in verse 9 where it says, in kind of an explanation, it says, formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go see the seer. For he who is called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. Are you hanging with me here? Are you all in the game here? Okay, stay with me, stay with me. Couple more verses. As they went up to the hill city, they met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to the city, because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice after those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up. About this time, you will find him. So they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way to the high place. End scene for a second. Now, check this out. Saul, very clearly, we don't know a ton about the scriptures. Saul is not Saul who becomes Paul. That's the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. This is Saul who is going to be anointed the first king of Israel. A huge time gap, okay? So two different Sauls in the Bible. But this one in particular, he has no idea what's about ready to happen, right? All he knows, and the circumstances, now listen, that God is using to bring him to this moment, is number one circumstance is what? Missing donkeys, lost donkeys. And now certainly he could have sent servants out to find these donkeys. They're valuable. But he sends his son. And Saul probably was like, Dad, really? Like, I got to go out and look for donkeys. Send someone else. But his Kish says, listen, my son, you're going to go find these donkeys. So they go on this wild donkey chase, right? So circumstance number one is actually not a great circumstance at all. It's out looking for donkeys. And in fact, we read that he goes from place to place to place to place, and he doesn't find these donkeys anywhere, right? Saul has no idea what's about ready to happen. All he knows is I am looking for donkeys and we can't find them, to the point where he says, let's go home. Because dad's going to start worrying about us more than he cares about the donkeys, good father. But listen, his servant, now he probably had tons of servants that he could have chose, but he chose this one. And this servant says what? Oh, wait. Let's go ask the seer. Let's go ask the seer. What? And Saul was probably like, well, I didn't even think of that. But this servant knows that in the next town over, there's somebody who could help him with the problem. And it could have been any of those servants, but he chose the servant that knew the seer. Circumstance number two, he chose the right servant. Not only that, but what happened next? Saul says, well, we need to give something to the seer because that's a gift. They all did that. And this servant reaches into his pocket and it's got a little silver shekel. He says, we can give him this. I have this. Bonus, right? Right servant, right servant, right circumstance. Third circumstance, walking towards the place. And they run into these young women who just happen, right, to be out at the well, drawing water. Circumstance number three, women out the well, drawing water. And as they approach, they say, hey, we're looking for the seer. And they say, you get up there today. Today only, one time offer. He is here. He is in town. Not yesterday, not the next day, but today. He is in town. And again, Saul thinks, man, we're looking for donkeys. That's the end route objective here. I'm looking for donkeys. I brought the right servant, and we've met these women, and they say, get up there right now. So Saul then walks to find this seer or this prophet who just happens to be God's anointed Samuel, right? And again, Saul has no idea. And even at this point, you might say to yourself, happenstance. He got lucky. It was all luck, right? I mean, he was just out looking for donkeys. Okay, so what? What's the big deal? Things like that happen all the time. And he brought the servant. The servant had shekels, but maybe everybody had shekels in their pockets that they could pay a seer with. And yeah, maybe more people knew where the seer was than just one. Happenstance, circumstance. And yeah, they bumped into the women, and the women just happened to give them that, like, hey, you need to go now. Could have happened to anyone. Circumstance. Happenstance. Until you look at the next passage, look at verse 15. Here's what it says. Now the Lord had told Samuel, this is the prophet, this is who we know as the one that's going to speak for the Lord, right? Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear when? The day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I, God, will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people, Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. What did we just find out? That it wasn't happenstance or circumstance at all. In fact, the day before, God spoke into Samuel's ear and said, listen, dude, I'm going to send you the guy. I'm going to send you the king. You know the one that people are all asking for? I'm going to send him to you. Now, what did that look like on Saul's end, right? I'm just looking for a donkey. I just happen to have a servant. He just happens to have a shekel. We happen to meet some women, and now we're looking for the seer. Saul has no idea that that conversation happened between Samuel and God. It was just Saul saying, I was looking for donkeys. Now listen to what he says here in verse 17. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate. And keep in mind, he has no idea what Samuel looks like, right? He's looking for donkeys. Listen to what he says. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? Where is this prophet guy? 19. Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys, what? Right? But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel. And in other words, he's saying, listen, all of Israel's been pining and desiring this king. And he's saying, on all the desire of Israel, is it not on you and on all your father's house? And it goes on, and he'll end up anointing Saul as king. And Saul, if you know about the Old Testament, has a crazy, crazy up and down cycle as king and godly man. he's crazy. But for this moment, for this time, I want you to see this, that God purposed to bring this man, Saul, into the presence of his prophet. And he ordered all these events to take place. And he even predicted that it would happen to his prophet. He said, listen, I'm going to order and I'm going to make way for this king to come into your presence. He's not going to have any idea what's going on. And he won't even know what you look like, but I will bring him right into you. You're going to almost bump into each other, the next king of Israel. And I think that's true with us. I think God is ordering our steps. He is making us available and guiding and moving us into circumstances where we can make an impact for him. We need to be sensitive and say, God, where would you have us go? Where would you lead us? What direction, what path would you have us take? Listen, I think it's incredible that he says to prophet Samuel, I will send him to you. You don't have to go out and look. I will order his steps to bring him right into your very presence. If God is using small daily occurrences, listen, if God is using small daily occurrences to usher people into his presence, his desires, his will, then don't you think he would use us? Don't you think that we would have that ability to be, if we're sensitive to his leading, be an impact agent for him? Much the same as he brought Saul into the path of his prophet Samuel. Well, don't you think he'll bring people into our paths through what they may say is happenstance, by chance? Don't you think that we have a God who would say, listen, I love these people. I want my redemptive plan to be working in them. The people around you, even. I believe that God will set up divine meetings, moments of impact that you and I will have encounters with people on a daily basis who God has said, listen, I want you to speak to them. I want you to direct them. It's an incredible moment. Think about the people that God has brought into your life. Think about kids and coworkers and friends. By chance? By random acts, I would think that God would have said, listen, I want you to impact those people that I have brought through whatever circumstances, lost donkeys, whatever it is that they think has happened, to bring them into your presence, a presence of one of his saints, one of those that love him and honor him with their lives. Whatever circumstance you think it took to bring them there, listen, they're there for a reason. That they're there for impact. Now, it's actually harder, it's easier to look back and see all the things that God has done in your life or in our lives. It's actually harder to look forward and say, okay, God, what are you going to do in my life? But what the looking forward is about faithfulness. That I'm going to be faithful to you, Lord, and I'm going to be looking and I'm going to be sensitive to your leading. And I'm going to take those things that you bring into my pathway, those people, those circumstances, those occurrences, I'm going to take those in faith that they are of you. And I'm going to honor you in those things. That's the looking forward part. The looking back part is kind of easy and it's kind of fun. If I look at my testimony, I think to myself, okay, high school, grew up in the church, right? Was part of the high school youth ministry. In college, walked away from the Lord, did my own thing, explored, did my thing. And then as I come back out of college years, I meet this guy named Joey Rozek, who spoke here two weekends ago, right? And he is all over me. He's like, Jeff, you need to come back. Jeff, you need to come to this Bible study. Jeff, you need to, Jeff, you need to, Jeff, you need to. And he starts to bring the word of God back into my life. And I knew Joey from early childhood, and he just kind of stayed a part of my life and kept drawing me back. And the Lord powerfully used him. But then what happened was Joey got married, and he kind of passed me off to this other guy named Victor. And Victor and I started to hang out, and I was a single guy at the time. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, next, right? Victor, hanging out with Victor, loved Victor. And then Victor knew this guy, Mike. And Mike went to Cal Baptist. And so then Victor kind of connected me over with Mike, and I started hanging out with Mike. And to this day, Mike and I are best friends, and we hang out. And there's this like connection that happened from Joey to Victor to Mike. And all the time I'm growing in the Lord, loving his word, growing in ministry, getting an opportunity to serve and teach and do all these things. And then I get passed off to my other friend. And there's this circumstance of events that at the time I don't see it, right? I just don't see it. It's not clear to me. I'm just kind of walking out in faith. God, what would you have me do? And then Mike, he introduced me to this amazing woman of God named Bethany Welsh. And I fell in love with her, and she's my wife today. And I would never have done that if I had not been faithful to the Lord, if God hadn't brought Joey and Victor and Mike back into my life. And then I meet this amazing girl, and she's incredible. And then, through circumstance, and there's this position that's opened up at Refuge, at the time CCHB. And she just happens to be married. I happen to marry to the head pastor's daughter, and there's a position for missions opened. And I thought, okay, that's cool. We were at another church serving at the time and loving ministry, and it was hard to leave. But then I get to come here, and God does this wonderful work through these two very pastoral men in Bill Welsh, Pastor Bill, and Pastor Allen, and he's refining me, and he's doing all these things inside of me. And then a position opens up for high school ministry. And I get to walk into high school ministry, which I loved high schoolers, and teach the word on a weekly basis. And again, looking back, it all starts with one movement, right? That God has got his hand, and everything happens for a reason. And God is using these people and circumstances and event all through my life that I can't see in the moment. Do you see that? That I can't see in the moment. I mean, coming back to the Lord out of college and doing what I wanted to do, I'd never have guessed, okay, I'm going to be a pastor at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. It didn't fit together for me. But through circumstances and people and God's orchestrating of his hand and movement. And I would guess that if I gave you the mic, you could come up here and many of you could kind of share the same stories of people and occurrences that drew you closer and closer to the Lord. And I'm saying tonight, are you willing to assign value and say that everything does happen for a reason? And everything happens as God is orchestrating and allowing you to kind of revealing things to you and saying, listen, you're my kid, you're my child, and I love you. And I'm moving you closer to me. And through you, I'm moving others closer to me. And so in my time of closing tonight, I just want to ask you two things. Number one, what if everyone here tonight took the challenge of seeing the first person they meet up with tomorrow as a divine encounter? What if everybody, when you woke up tomorrow, and excluding your husband or your wife, I guess that could be a divine encounter as well. But what if tomorrow, when you got into your car and you drove either to the gas station, or maybe you had to stop by the Starbucks, or maybe the first person you encountered at work tomorrow, and you said, this is a divine encounter, that I believe that God is orchestrating my steps, and I'm willing to do this, Jeff. I'm willing to take one chance and just say, hey, maybe tomorrow the first person I bump into is a divine encounter. Now, we could sit here and argue back and forth that maybe every occurrence that happens is a divine encounter, that in fact, kind of as Pastor Bill lives out his life, and we kind of get to see the way he interacts with people at Starbucks and all over the nation and in airplanes and all, that he really truly sees it and lives out this idea that every encounter is a divine encounter. Maybe we would start to think about it a little bit more. Like, if God is orchestrating Saul's life, then maybe God is orchestrating my life, and that every encounter that I have isn't just happenstance, but that God might be bringing those people in front of me for a reason. So I would just say, start small. I would just say tomorrow, think about this. Maybe that first encounter that you run into someone, maybe that is the divine encounter that God would have you ask a question, explore a little bit further. Just say, hey, good morning. How are you doing? And see what the response is and see if God doesn't open up something. That the second thing is this. What if we were purposed as God's people to look both at the good and the bad situations, both the big and the small situations of life, as having God-sized possibilities? That when we get information or news, both good and bad, big things maybe and little things, that we look and say, is God in it? Could I assign the possibility that God may be moving through this circumstance? That God might plan to do something with me or this person who's giving me the news? That God may be using that information to draw myself deeper or this person deeper in a relationship with him? Redemption, redemption. Is there that possibility? And I would just say, as people of God, both of these questions are ones that maybe we've wrestled with in time. Does really every conversation that I have is a God-sized possibility, maybe? We probably wrestle with that because it's a lot easier just to say, hey, good morning, and move on, right? But what if we explored the idea that maybe God is bringing people to us? And secondly, I think we've all wrestled with the idea that, you know, there's some things that I just can't assign to say that God would have anything to do with. This is so far outside the bounds of any good God that I'm, and maybe as a Christian, you've even wrestled with that yourself. And I would just say, yeah, I don't believe that God causes it, but I would maybe say, listen, God will redeem it, that God will use it, and God will draw both you and myself and the person giving that information, whether it's big or small, hard or easy information, that God will use it to redeem his people. And I would just encourage you maybe to pray about that same exact thing. Whatever it looks like, that everything has a reason and a purpose, that God is working these things out for his people. I would encourage you to join him in that, that you'd be sensitive, that we would be sensitive to saying, God, use me tomorrow through conversations, through things that go on. I want to be used by you. Amen? Let's pray. God, I do thank you for including us in your work. And I know as we move forward here in the coming weekends, we're going to talk a lot about our activity as followers of you, as a church, as a whole, that we need to be active in our seeking you out for the lives of others in prayer and in conversation and just ways that we can begin to interact with people, Lord, because we believe that we have something very powerful. We have you. We have your son, Lord, and we believe there's life-changing power in your name. And if we never entered a conversation, if we never believe that you would use us, if we never believe that you would draw us into divine conversations, divine encounters, then, Lord, we're going to miss those opportunities. And so, Lord, I pray tonight through the setting of Saul and Samuel, we would see that you do put your hand in circumstances and situations. You do draw things out. You do draw people to yourself. You do allow your will to be done. And so tonight, Lord, I pray we'd believe that just a little bit more, that we walk that out just a little bit more practically in our lives. Amen. Let me kind of bridge the gap here for a second and make things a little bit practical. We have an amazing church. I look around on a Wednesday night and I just look at the people and I think, man, this is a family. There's something special here. And I've said it before, but it's really something I believe that the world needs. They need to see you guys together collectively worshiping, and the way that you treat each other in the foyer and in the children's ministry, and the children's ministry workers are awesome. We just have this incredible church. And so I believe what we have is an incredible opportunity, more than anything else. And so So there's this guy that I listen to, and he tells his church these three things. If somebody comes to you, and this is talking about divine encounters, and I believe God will bring you people. He will bring people, whether they're your kids or your family members or people at work. He will offer up divine encounters. And here's what he says. Listen for three things. He says, number one, if somebody comes to you and says, I don't know how this could happen. I don't know how this could be. I don't know how it could take place. Number one, hey, I got this place. I got this church. We teach the Bible, and I'd love for you to come. Just be my guest. Just come one time. Just come check it out. Second thing, I'm not from around here. Like, I don't know where to go. I don't have people I connect with, or I don't have a church. So I go, hey, I got this place called Refuge. Come join me. So one thing, I don't know how this could happen. Second thing, I'm not from around here. And the third thing is, things are not going well. Things are not going well. There it was. Things are not going well. And when you hear these things, it's almost as if God has put a bulb over their head to say, invite them, invite them, invite them. You've got a place of refuge. You've got a place that you love and the place that you come to and the people that you love. Invite them to be a part of that. And if they say no, they say no. But if they say yes, then you've got an opportunity to invite them to this place that you, and people that you love, this family that you love. And so I would just say, wait for those divine encounters to happen. And when you hear one of those three things, jump on it. It's going to be scary. You're going to be like, oh, there it was. I heard it. I know what I'm supposed to say. Hey, would you come to Refuge with me? Just try it. Just see what God does. Amen? Have a good rest of your week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.